Good morning. I just want to open up in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that the words that you've put on my heart and the message that you have, Father God, that you would just bring anointing right now, Lord God, that it wouldn't be my words, but it would be Holy Spirit flowing through me, Jesus. Father God, that I just pray that our hearts are prepared, our hearts are open to receive, and that we would just be receptive to what you want to say to us, Holy Spirit, that you would just move, just use me as a vessel, Father God. But Lord Jesus, just keep me sensitive so that things that you have and the things that you want to share, that they would bubble up. They would bubble up and come forth and they would touch, and not one of us would leave unchanged from today, Lord God. That you have good things in store. You have good things. You have great plans for us, Lord Jesus. You have great plans. We just thank you for those, Father God. We thank you for the plans that you have for us, the things that you've done in our past, that you're doing in our present, that you will do in our future. We just say yes and amen to them, Lord Jesus. We say yes and amen. All right. Good morning. Happy New Year. This was unintentional that this was going to be the first teaching of the new year, I said, but when I was looking at it, it actually lines up nicely. So, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I wrote title question mark because I didn't know what I was going to title this, and I feel like every time of teaching, everything that you share has to have a title because then it's official. Nothing came to me, so this is the title: Do Not Fear, Do Not Worry, Do Not Doubt. And I feel like that's what that was the basis of where God brought this word, and I think that that's where his focus is, and I'm just going to ask that Holy Spirit expound on that. But it's a command in it, there's a blessing in it, but then there's also a decision that we have to make as well. So it's a give and take on all of our ends. Can I put Philippians 4:6 up? So I heard this on the radio, and I actually I looked it up. Philippians 4:6 was the number one scripture of 2019. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So 2019, I guess this is, a lot of people were anxious, they were worried, they were fearful, whatever it was, but this was a most looked up scripture from the Bible app. There it is. So Philippians 4:6 talks about not being anxious about anything. And then when I was praying about this, I asked God, I said, all right, well, that was 2019. What do you have for 2020? And as soon as I said 2020, we're missing our in-house eye doctor. But what is 2020? 2020 is perfect vision. It's clear vision. It's focus. It's those things that your eye doctor wants to say that you have. You have 2020 vision. And so I asked him, I'm like, all right, God, where do I go with that? Where does that tie into the fear and not worrying and the decision making? And he gave me Isaiah 43:18 and 19. 18 kind of came after 19, so it's going to be, I'm going to flip the verses around. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, like those bubbling water inside of us, the life, living water. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I read 18 after that because it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. See, perceive it. That's 2020. That's 2020, and that's what I feel that God is bringing that forth, is perceiving the good things that I'm doing in your life. You're going to see this. Can you not see it? It's not just hoping for it or blindly walking in it now. He wants to show it to you. He wants to have those things that we have been looking for and waiting for, that season of new things coming forth. And I feel like that's a word for 2020 of see and perceive. That encompasses everything that we're going through, everything that we're walking through. He's going to see. We're going to see him be real. We're going to see him just be real in our lives, be who we know he is to be. And it's going to be new. He's making ways in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I feel like there's a lot of us who have felt that we're in the wasteland, that we have been in deserts, that we're in places where we need to see God reveal himself true, to see him come forth. And I speak that into 2020. I speak that scripture, that we're going to walk that and we're going to see him be real in our lives. The title for Do Not Fear, Do Not Worry, Do Not Doubt, I forgot how I wanted to bring it up, but it was something about you wouldn't want me standing up here and teaching you how to change a carburetor, and you wouldn't want me to teach you how to do eye surgery. I don't have any experience in those things, so I'm not going to teach you from that. I feel like God puts things on your heart that he's had you walk through, and therefore you can teach it. So the experience, whenever I always say the experience in the heart is always greater than the knowledge in the head. I can read a book about changing a carburetor. I could probably read a book about eye surgery. That doesn't mean I should be doing it, and that doesn't mean I should be teaching on it. The teaching from fearing, not fearing, not worrying, and not being doubting. Not doubting. Doubtful, yes. Not being doubtful doesn't come from reading a couple of scriptures. It's something that I've been walking out in my own life, and I think that when I had emailed Pastor, it wasn't something that I thought was a good teaching. I felt that over the past year and a half, that this is what I've been walking through, and so if there was something that I could share and that you guys can glean from, that would be where a teaching would come from the experience. Right. So 2018, Jordan was born November 2018, and my do not fear, do not worry, do not doubt started really with her there. It's good to say, God, I don't want to fear. It's good to say, God, I don't want to doubt. It's good to say, I don't want to be worrisome. But when you're in situations, that's still what we go to. I'm still worried. I'm still fearful. I still doubt. And so we were in the NICU, and she came 8 weeks early, which is the summary of Jordan's entry into this world. But we were sitting in the hospital room, and the fear, worry, and doubt comes when you're saying, okay, well, you're 8 weeks early, your baby's on her way, or is going to have to come out. And I wanted to find all the scriptures. I wanted to find everything that said, don't worry, God's in control, he has you. But everything was fearsome. Everything was worrisome. And I remember being in the hospital room, and I was listening to worship songs. This is why I worship before I have to teach, because I love worship. I love that place you go to. And God showed me that we were playing the song Tremble, and it speaks to the darkness, and it speaks to fear. And I spoke to that hospital room, and I saw that fear was not allowed to cross that threshold and of the hospital room. And so I stood in that, and everything in my flesh, everything in what I was going through was scared, was fearful, was worrisome. It didn't matter how many scriptures you could throw at me. It doesn't matter, because if you're walking in fear, that's still the reality, is you're still scared, you're still fearful. And he showed it to me. He just showed me, I'm putting this threshold here. I'm stopping it. This fear cannot pass this doorway. And I felt that. My testimony of Jordan's early delivery is that in it, in the chaos and everything, there was still peace. There was still him triumphing. There was still fear that was replaced by knowing he was in control. And that's something that you can hear, you can speak on, but when you go through it, it makes it real. It makes it very real. And I would have loved if that was my lesson of being fearful and being worrisome. And then God would have said, all right, you've got your there. You've graduated. You're no longer fearful. He does things in layers. If he brings things to your attention, he's going to show you, okay, here's an area where you doubt me. Here's an area where you're fearful. Here's an area where I want to heal and I want to get to roots at, but I'm not going to chop you in half and deal with the roots. I'm going to slowly peel back piece by piece and heal you as I'm peeling these pieces back, so that it's gentle, it's loving, and it's healing in that matter. So 2018 finishes, and 2019 is a year of walking through fear and worry and doubt and everything that I thought I was coming to God going, okay, I want you to deal with these things. Don't ask God to deal with something if you don't want him to deal with it. They really say don't pray for patience, because you're going to be put in situations where you need patience. I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to worry. Finances were a big area where I know put my trust in. I put my faith in. I put my security in. All right, I'm taking care of my finances and everything's here, all right? God was showing me, all right, well, if that's where you want me to handle, you want me to deal with fear, I'm not going to just, I can't keep putting you back into a hospital room. Jordan's here, she's fine. I'm going to now deal with this next level of fear, this next level of worry, this next level of doubt. And so 2019 was a year of, okay, God, I'm so scared. I don't know about this. I'm so fearful. I don't know about this. And he kept showing me, okay, you're letting me be real here because you're being real. We need to remember to be real with God. We're fearful. It's okay. It's all right. We doubt. It's okay. We're human. We have anger thoughts. We have frustration thoughts. We have things that are real. But when we come to God and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. This is what I want you to heal. He will do that. He will honor that because he wants to see us whole. He wants to see us healed. He wants to see us delivered. And he wants to see us set free. And I believe that was what this past year of going through everything was leading up to, is showing you that I am faithful. I am going to deal with your fear. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to make you dependent on me, not by force, but because that's what you want. That's what your heart desires. And he started in the hospital room. And I felt that even when I wrote that 2018, so November 2018, he was in the hospital room with Jordan and I and Greg. And he said, start to speak to the rooms of your life. So start to speak to, if it's a hospital room, it's a hospital room. I wrote, speak to your financial rooms. Speak to your board rooms. Speak to your relationship rooms. Speak to your mental rooms, your emotional rooms. Speak to those rooms that you know God's looking to get into. That we have that control. We have that decision to say, I don't want you in this room right now. I want you over here. He's not going to push into rooms. He's not going to push his way into areas of your life, but he wants to be in those rooms. He wants to be in your boardroom. He wants to be in your marriage room. He wants to be in your living room. Find the rooms. But I pray that God just give you a personal insight into the rooms that he wants to go into your lives. It could be a hospital room. It could be something, your healing room. It could be your financial room. It could be whatever room it is. He knows, he knows, he knows. And this is an individual place that we're in, but that's where he wants to go to. He wants to enter those rooms and bring vision, bring clarity, bring focus to that, and bring healing, because that's what's going to make us whole. That's what's going to continue to bring up those wells, because he's removing those things that are in the rooms that are could be blocking it. So I just pray that right now. I just release a prayer and anointing on that, to God would just open up eyes and just give us vision on what the rooms that he wants to enter, the rooms that he wants to go into in our individual lives, in our relationship lives, in our walks with him, that the rooms that he's showing us even right now, that we could be honest and truthful and say, God, I want to open this door. I want to let you in. I want to see you heal me and deliver me. I don't know how, or I'm apprehensive, but meet me there. Meet me where I need you to meet me. Meet me where you need to meet me. And I know he's faithful. I know he's faithful to do that. I thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I said it was a year of walking the truth out. So this is not, I learned about it yesterday and I'm teaching on it today. That being said, I don't think that he's done either, which is always a good thing. But when you can look back 6 months, 9 months, and a year, and say, all right, where was I in my walk a year ago? Where am I now? And you can see a huge difference. Greg and I always talk about that in our relationship. He said, we get so frustrated with each other on a day-to-day basis, but if you take a step back and you look at, well, where were we last year at this time? Well, we're much better than we were then, so let's keep moving forward. And I think that's part of the perspective and the 2020 focus, is bring that clarity to all the areas that we're walking in. It's healthy for your relationships to do that too. I would strongly consider doing that, even in your personal walks too. So then I said there was a transition to 2020. So this was 2019, going through what God was showing me about fear and doubt and worry. And I saw this post on Facebook, so we know it's true. this is where I like when Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit and he gently nudges you. So this year is a leap year, and I saw on Facebook, in the Bible it says 366 times God says, do not fear. I said, that's awesome. That's awesome. Like, how? 366 times it says it, and it's a leap year? That's going in my teaching. We're going to go off of that. And so I looked it up, and I said, oh, it's 365. Well, what's the difference? What if, did he say it 365 times last year? And it was that gentle nudge of, before you go on a recorded line, check your facts. So I looked up and I said, God, did you, and I didn't look up and didn't ask God for it. Just went to Google and said, how many times is it taught, do not fear? And there was a bunch of postings to it. So it's a nice way of saying it. So overall, it does say many times in the Bible, do not fear, do not worry. It doesn't say it 366, it doesn't say it 365. It says, there was a piece about it in the King James Version, fear is mentioned over 500 times. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's do not fear. So a woman did a study on it, and she said, all right, so I wanted to check the facts. And so she went through it from Genesis to Revelations, and she pulled out scriptures that says do not fear, do not worry. It's like 150 times, but that's the details of it. It's still 150 times that it says do not fear in the Bible. So it's probably something that everyone was going through. It's probably something that we need to hear, and it's probably something that's still true, whether it's 366 times in a leap year or 150. I'm sure there's a whole range of different numbers, but that was my nice sensitivity to Holy Spirit, just saying, don't read something and just throw it back up as fact. Let's make sure we double check this thing. So I liked it. I liked that we're not taking our facts from Facebook. Let's look at them. Let's actually question them, or just make sure that we just double check before we repost it. So I'm not going on record and saying that it's 366 times. However, I did print out the 150 times. And I had this idea, and it's not going to work the way I wanted it to, but it will still work. This is 150 scriptures in the Bible that says... It was much grander in my thought process. I was going to sprinkle it all around here, and I looked at it and I'm like, that's not that many. I should have written them on bigger pieces of paper or something so it looked better and whatever. It does say it so many times. So the scriptures have a command, they have a blessing in them, but they require an action on our part as well. So it's a new year. Everyone wants to lose weight and get healthy, right? So we buy the books, we go on start the diets. How many books do we have that show us how to eat well or how to work out? It's just a book. It's just another diet, whatever it is, if you don't take action on it. So the Bible could say, how many ever times it does say it, do not fear, do not worry, do not doubt. But there's just words in a book if we don't actually take the step and decide, you know what, God, I'm going to make that action step. I'm going to, even if it's as simple as I'm fearful, but I don't want to be. It's still an action. It's still an action to say, I'm worried, I don't want to be. I am fearful, help me. That's still an action, instead of just sitting here numbed in your fear and in your worry, because you can't do anything if it's just standing still. So that's part of when we were talking about the decisions. It's fear is real, doubt is real, apprehension is real. These are all, excuse me, all things that we go through, but it's our decision to stay there. It's our decision to move forward from it. It's even our decision just to tell God, this is truth. Can you meet me where I am? So, it's not my cleaning week, so I'm not going to clean this up. You're going, is it your week? Quinn, where's Quinn? I found a way to clean up the scriptures or the lack of mess that I made. Some of the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, God talks to Joshua and Abraham. So a lot of them say, do not fear, Joshua. And unless it's one of the Joshuas that get the scripture, these are scriptures on not worrying, on not fearful, not being fearful. Some of them are specific to the situation in the Old Testament. But as I was reading them, I said, you know, God, it could say, do not fear, Joshua, for I'm with you and your enemies will fall to the side. You don't actually have to be in a war to want to have enemies fall to your side. You don't have to be in Old Testament biblical times to feel that you're fighting something. So as I was going through, I was trying to put my critical hat on. And is this one anointed? Does this one have power behind it? And I stopped because it doesn't matter if it didn't have power for me at that moment. You might pick it up and say, this is exactly what I needed to hear. This is exactly what I wanted to see. Or I needed to read, or it's going to be your scripture, however it is. I mentioned that the when we were in the NICU, the Tremble song from, I think it's Hillsong, was a song that I played over and over because it says he brings things to peace. He calms seas and he calms rage. Every wave that's in his name, the name of Jesus. So it does one of two things. It brings the power of the name of Jesus and it speaks to fear. I love the song and I'm going to play it when I'm done here. But this is, while I play it, I don't want it to just be a song we listen to and a teaching we hear and a scripture we read. I pray that Holy Spirit start to minister to us on an individual basis, that those areas that we are worried about, that we're fearful and apprehensive about, that we start making the decision to not be fearful, to not be apprehensive. We decide to let God meet us where we are. And in that action step, when I put the song on, don't just listen to it. I'm going to ask that you come up and take a scripture. Take two, take three, take some for who's not here, who you might want to just give to. There is 150. So when I printed them out and I read them, I prayed over them too, that God, you would anoint these words. This is from the Bible. These are live, alive words. This is not just another book or a scripture that sounds good. These words have life in them. They have power behind them. And I believe that there's a word for each and every one of us. And it might be two words, it might be three. But when I put the song on, I'm going to ask you to just come forward. And I put them on the steps so you don't have to bend over. And they're a little bit easier to get to. But that let that be your first action of 2020. Take that step out and just say, okay, I'm going to choose that. I'm going to pick a word up. I'm going to read it. These are action steps. They're simple. They're simple acts of obedience that I'm not going to just sit here, God, and not do anything. I always find a balance there because it's not in our works. We don't want to do works, but we don't want to just sit there and not be used when God can use us in the situation. So I do want to put the song on. Hold, please. Yeah. I do. I just want to release an anointing on the words that are here. God, if you said in your word over 100 times, do not fear, you had meaning for it. You had a purpose. You have truth that you were speaking to whoever you were speaking to in the Bible. You were speaking it to us, and it's still alive, and it's still real. You're speaking that to our hearts, God. You're speaking it to our hearts. You're calling us into a year of focus. You're calling us into a year of clarity. You're calling us into a year where you're going to do great things. We are going to see it. We are going to perceive it. Jesus, you are making a way in the wilderness. You are making a way in the wilderness, Jesus. We just thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the power of your name, there's such power behind it, Jesus. If it's just a simple utterance of the name Jesus, we just thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. It's all we need. It's all we need, Lord Jesus. So we need, Father God. So, Lord Jesus, I pray right now, Father God, that you line up, you orchestrate, you put the scriptures in the hands of who needs to read it. You just pour an anointing out in it, Father God. When the song says peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break at your name. Still, he calls the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name, and the power of the name of Jesus. I just release that power of the name of Jesus. I release that. I release it, and I just pray, Father God, that you would move. Holy Spirit, you would pour out. You would touch our hearts. You would touch our minds. You would touch our vision. You would touch our eyesight, Lord God, that you would bring a clarity to your word. You would bring a clarity and a new perspective to what you're doing in our lives. You just bring a new vision to our walks, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right before I put the song on, there's a line that says, you shut the mouth of the liar. And I'm renowned for hearing words the way songs the way I want to hear them. And I sing it, you shut the mouth of the lion, because I thought it was referring to Daniel and the lion and everything. And it can go both ways. It could be you shut the mouth of the lion, and you can shut the mouth of the liar. But when Donna said today there was a roar, he's going to shut the mouth of the liar, but that lion roar is not shut. He's opening our mouths, and we are roaring like lions. And that liar, that voice of the liar is being shut. The voice of the liar is being shut right now in the name of Jesus. That voice of the liar, the voice of the liar says you are fearful, you are worrisome, this is all you are ever going to be. Right now in the name of Jesus, we shut the mouth of the liar. We shut the mouth of the liar that says you're insignificant. We shut the mouth of the liar that says you're not good enough. We shut the mouth of the liar and we start to roar like a lion and say, I am good enough. I am made good enough. I am perfected in Jesus, in Jesus. And right now that roar, that bubbling up right now in the name of Jesus. Shut the mouth of the liar in the name of Jesus. We speak to those lies of depression and of oppression and addiction in the name of Jesus. We shut the mouth of the liar that those do not define who you are. They do not define who you are. And we start to speak those truths. We start to roar truths right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the mouth of the liar be shut. The mouth of the liar be shut right now in the name of Jesus. Any of those lies that you're hearing right now, any of those small whispers that the enemy wants you to believe right now, we shut the mouth of the liar in the name of Jesus and we release a roar. We release a roar from inside, that spirit would just release a roar right now in the name of Jesus. Roar, that you would roar right now, Holy Spirit. Start to roar this year. Start to roar in our walks. Start to roar in our relationships. Start to roar in our workplaces. In the name of Jesus, we just command that roar to come up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command that roar to come up and shut the mouth of the liar in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen, amen. We speak to death and destruction and sickness and disease, and we say, shut your mouth, liar. Shut your mouth, liar. Shut your mouth, liar. We speak to emotional, physical aspects right now in the name of Jesus. We speak to that in the name of Jesus, and we say, shut your mouth, liar. Shut your mouth, liar. Shut your mouth, liar. Truths, Lord God, let this year be a year of truth, that your truths would flow through in the name of Jesus. I am not finished with you yet. I am not finished with you yet, says the Holy Spirit. I feel Holy Spirit say, I'm not finished with you. I am not finished with you. I have started a good work in you, and I will complete it. I am not done with you yet. I am not done with you yet. I am not done with you yet. I'm calling you out from where you are sitting. I'm calling you out from where you feel you have been stuck. I'm calling you out from where you feel you have been in a rut. I'm calling you out right now. I'm calling you up by my spirit. I'm calling you up by my spirit, and I'm bringing you to a higher place. I'm bringing you to a higher place. I'm bringing you to the next level with me. I'm bringing you to the next level with me. I'm bringing you to the next level with me. Will you come up? Will you come up? Will you come up? Will you come up to the next level with me? Because I have such good things planned for you. I have such good things planned for you, says your God. I have such good things planned for you. Thank you, Jesus.
Peace, bring it all to peace. Storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still. Call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you
not about how loud we can yell his name. It's about the authority in his name and the whisper of his voice over your life. It's our response. But he's already eradicated fear. It's not that just the darkness trembles. It's that it's so bright. It's intrinsic. And his spirit is alive inside of us. It's alive. So we're not reaching for a light. We're not reaching for a light to be turned on. He's placed the light inside of us. He's eradicated fear. It's over. It's done with. He silenced the voice of the liar on the cross. So we're going to sing it back to him. We're going to sing it from the bottom up. The bottom up. Not from the top down, the bottom up. Our grounding is in this truth. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, come on. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we're leaning into Jesus, Jesus. 'Cause you make the darkness.
Great job. Awesome. You know what this proves? It proves that the Isaac generation has a lot to give. Amen? We are a whole body of Christ with three generations, Abraham, Isaac's, and Jacob's. And we just heard from the Isaacs. And I want to thank God for that. This is wonderful. I was blessed. Praise God. I hope you were blessed as well.